Psalm 51, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come together. I praise you for your strength. It's a great honor that we have in order to come together and speak your word. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful hymns and the singing and the special. And thank you for the opportunity to come and bring our tithes and offerings unto you, that we may be a part of the work. And please, dear Lord, that you will lead us to the right work and the right part and what we should be doing. We thank and praise you for the radio and for the internet and Father, for the all the things that you have brought us together to do, and please continue to guide and lead us. Dear Father, today we're going to talk about David's sin. And today, dear Father, I ask that each one will examine our hearts, and I ask that we'll look. We know that David here was saved. He was born again. I ask, dear Father, today that those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, that they'll trust you as their Savior today. They'll recognize their sin, they'll confess it before you, and they'll come accepting you as their Savior. Please, dear Lord, that come today. And I ask, dear Lord, that we look into our hearts and learn of you, and dear Father, just let your word speak to us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This psalm begins, and David comes kind of in his home, in his prayer closet, in a place alone with God. And his words unto his God is, have mercy upon me. And that's where he begins. David had broken two of God's commandments. You know, we look to the commandments of God and realize that we're guilty of all. We have no hope. We need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus comes into our heart and saves us and wipes all of our sin away. But in order to stay into fellowship with God, why, we need to come before our God and have a confessed heart and let him continue to change our lives and to make us more like him and to grow us each and every day after that day of decision, that wonderful day, that great day that we trust in Jesus as our Savior. But there are two specific ones that David committed. The first was adultery. The second one was murder. And you think of those two, and you think, well, I am not guilty of those, or you may have been guilty of those. We know that to look upon a person, to lust after him, is the same as adultery or fornication. We know that to dislike, to hate a person is the same as murder. So according to the law of God, we are all guilty. And so we need to walk each day and enjoy our fellowship with our God. David, in his situation, He slept with Bathsheba, and then he arranged the death of her husband Uriah. And David thought he could hide this. And then a friend, a prophet, Nathan, came to him. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, you can read all about that that took place. And so here's the friend. Here's Nathan. And he comes unto David. And now David comes before his God in his chamber, in his hiding place, in his home, in this place where he can come and speak to his God. And so we begin there. And I believe that as we go through this, that each one of us, we all need to, you know, search our hearts and say, Lord, please, what is it today? What is it something? And in David's case, it was something that he tried to bury, he tried to hide, and he found that he couldn't. And Psalm 32:3 says, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. And then in the fourth verse of that same chapter of Psalm 32:4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. And again, God used this friend, Nathan, to speak to him. In the beginning here, we find that he comes before the Lord. Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me. You know, the publican in Luke 18:13 was standing afar off and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We find also the Pharisee standing on the street corner, praying and saying, God, I'm sure glad I'm not as bad and wicked as they are. So you see, we have a choice. We have a choice to come before our God with a humble heart, with a broken spirit, and begin to pour our heart out unto Him. Or we can be as the Pharisee and stand on the street corner and look around and say, I'm better than you. You've got something to confess, but I don't. And so you've got a choice. I have a choice. All of us have a choice. But the joy of it is that we have the love of God and the forgiveness of God. And that's what Nathan come to tell David. He come to tell him of the forgiveness that was there. And when David come to this realization that he needed to confess to his God and pray to his God for his strength. And you know, when we look at David, and you know, he was the greatest king of all Israel. We know that David is going to have, has the placement, the position of the almost the greatest man that ever lived. We find that the Lord Jesus, God is holding David up to a very high regard. We know that David will have a position to rule and reign, and so what a God we serve, that he is guilty of these things. And the sad thing again is we place a category on sin. You know, some sin is worse than others. And no, it isn't. Any sin that breaks fellowship with our God, any sin that keeps you, and you've decided that salvation, you're not going to surrender to God, you're not going to trust in God, you're not going to come by faith to Him for salvation, because there's something in this world that you love, you're going to find that there's a day that judgment will come. There's a day that the judge, which could be your Savior, the Lord Jesus, you will stand before Him, and you will You will lay out all your works, all your accomplishments, and then he will pass judgment upon you and cast you into the lake of fire eternally. That's your choice. We discussed in Sunday school this morning that there are two, literally two gods. I mean, there's many gods, but there are two. One true God and one the God of this world. And when you boil it all down, you serve one or the other. One or the other is your God. One loves you, and one says that he loves you. One gives you all the things of all the world, and the other will say, no, this isn't good for you. This is best for you if we don't. This is good for you. One wants all evil, the other wants all good. And the question was asked, if a person had a choice for your mother, you had two mothers. One mother said, go out and drink. Go out and do the drugs. Go out and do whatever you want. Stay out all night if you want to. Not going to hurt a thing. Or you have a mother that says, no, 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 and be home by 10. Which one, as a young person, would you prefer? Oh, to have a liberal mother that would let me do anything whenever I wanted to. Which one loves you, really loves you? It's the one that says no. But which one do you choose? And you see, we all have a choice of that. Are you going to serve God and choose him, accepting him as your Savior and asking forgiveness for your sin? Or are you going to have the God of this world continue to hand you the things that are deadly? We have a choice. As believers, we have a choice. David had a choice. David did not take a scale and put his good works over here and his evil works over here and say, okay, it's pretty close. It's pretty close. If I continue to do a few more works, then my evil works will be outweighed and I'll be okay. Well, that's what most liberal churches preach, is that your good will outweigh your bad, and so you're okay. But we know that's not true. We know that God expects perfection, and God demands perfection. Well, how can we do that? We can't. We're of the flesh. We can't give God perfection. Well, through our Lord Jesus, we can. Through our Lord Jesus, he gives us victory over sin. And he gives us the strength to have that victory. So each day, we need to live. And today we have trouble, tomorrow the victory. Today we have trouble, tomorrow we have trouble. The next day we have trouble, then we have the victory. You see, how soon do we come to our God for the victory? Because he'll give it to us. So let's see what David takes care of here. When he saw his sin by the help of this friend, he turned unto God, to his God, with a sorrowful heart. And he began with three statements. And those statements are progressive. One is, God, have mercy. The second, if you'll look to your scripture there in verse 1, God, I need your loving kindness. And the third, God, please, unto a multitude of thy tender mercies, please show mercy to me. You see, he come before God and he pleaded with God that God would supply those. And if you'll notice, it says according to thy mercy. to have mercy, and then according to thy loving kindness, according to a multitude of thy tender mercies. It's his giving. Noah, when he had the opportunity to build an ark and walk onto that ark, what mercy God showed him and his family. With all the wickedness that was upon all the world, Noah and his family could have been destroyed with the rest. But God showed mercy. And he allowed him to step onto that ark. And I think that David is asking for mercy of that magnitude. He says, God, I need your mercy. Look at the mercy that you've shown to mankind and didn't destroy them all in the flood. You showed mercy to Noah and his family. Will you please show me that mercy? Will you show me that mercy? Now, when you're pleading with God and you're asking God to show you that mercy, what has happened in our hearts? When you come to the place that you are looking unto God and you're calling on Him, and again, David uses three. Mercy, have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. God, your mercies are multiplied. That's how mighty you are. I need them, God. What condition is David's heart when he is speaking this way? David is broken over his sin, isn't he? David wants his God to protect him, to forgive him. That's what he wants. This pain of what he had done just continued to build and to build and to build. And the deeper that it comes, the more difficult it is to rid ourselves of it. But you see, David sought after the Lord. And he came to him pleading for mercy. You know, we need to come before our God pleading. It's like when we give him our list. It's a shopping list and we expect it. But do we understand who we are and what we are? And that God owes us nothing? But if he chooses to show us mercy, how great and wonderful a day that is. What a day it was the day he saved me. And what a day today is as we continue to grow closer to him. I don't title messages very long, but let us prepare our hearts before a righteous God. His first verse, have mercy unto me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. God, blot out my sin. Blot it out. All the record that's before me, all the record that's against me. You know, when we go against the law and we have an offense, there's a record of that offense. It's, you know, with the day of computer, why it's no longer just on the county level or the state level, it's nation, probably worldwide. That record, it's recorded, it's written down. David asks his God to erase those lines. That's what he's asking. He said, will you please erase those mistakes that I've made? Will you do that? I know that it's been recorded, and it's been recorded so firmly and so strongly, like it's etched in stone. It's not like you can just take an eraser and erase it off the page. It's deeper than that, David says. But please, will you erase it? Please, will you blot it out? And again, each one of us need to examine our hearts and understand that when we live each and every day and we walk in this old earth, that we get dirty. We get dirty. We need to come before our God. You know, there's a debt to be paid. There's a price for that sin, that transgression, and there's a debt that needs to be paid. There's a couple of ways three actually, that can be dealt with. Number one is that you pay it. I have got a speeding ticket, and so that's an offense, and so I need to pay the debt. So I go and I pay the debt. Depending on how fast I was going, depending on the amount of the debt, okay? Now, the other choice is that the state could look at me and say, you know, Larry, I know that you didn't mean to do that. And, you know, you were just in a hurry, and you won't do it again. And so I'm going to just wipe it clean. You know, the person that I'm owed that debt to could do that. Or a third, and that is somebody else could pay it. Well, you see, that's what's happened to us. Because number one, our God cannot excuse our debt. And number two, the only way I can pay it is to die. And then it's not paid. That doesn't forgive everything, so I go to heaven after death. No. There's nothing I can do that can pay my debt. And it can't be forgiven. So there's going to have to be the third means. And my Savior paid that debt. And so you see, now I'm born again. I'm saved. Well, as this debt has been paid off, now that we're born again, our sin, our transgressions after the day we get saved, they need to be dealt with too. And we need to understand that our God is able to blot them out. He's able to do that. Nathan come to David and says, David, you need to come before your God and ask him to forgive you. And he will. He will. Isn't that wonderful? To know that no matter what's went on, that he is able to blot them out, to take them away. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's who's paid the price. It's paid for. The second verse says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Wash me. Wash me. What's there? Liddy, I was on washing detail. We were fixing food for this afternoon, and so it was kind of a assembly line. Sue's dirtied them, and Liddy and I cleaned them. And so Liddy loves to wash, and so she's washing the dishes. And then she'd hand them to me. Well, most of the time, Liddy did a pretty good job. But now and then, there was still some film and some dirt on the dish. Now, what did Grandpa do? I said, that's okay, and just put it right in the drainer there to clean. No, I said, Letty, we need to wash this one again. So we put it back in the soap, back in the water, and we gave it a good washing, and then we gave it a good rinsing, and real good scalding hot water, and then we set aside. You see, the older we get, the more we should be able to see that dirt. But not so sometimes, but we should be able to. Now, in Liddy's eyes, that glass looked just clean as could be. I looked down in it, and there's just old ugly film of I don't know what it was, something or other there. It was good enough for her. And you know, when we're young, sometimes that's the way we look at things. But the older we get, the more we should be able to be a discerner so that we're clean, so that dish is clean. Sometimes we follow that, sometimes we don't. But David here, he wants to be washed. He wants to be clean. And it kind of comes down when he goes into the next thing. Cleanse me from my sin. Wash me thoroughly. Yeah, what guilt is there? What sin is there? You know, we can go to Galatians, and we can see that the works of the flesh is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, revilings. You know, the list is long. You know, pride and anger and hatred and unbelief. There's so much. There's so much that we need to examine our heart and know that our God will forgive us if we just come. David comes with a broken heart. David wants to be washed. And he said, cleanse me. You know, sometimes it's not the person that's doing the washing. Sometimes you need a different cleaner even. You know, you can put some kind of cleaner on this spot and it cleaned that dish right up. But this other dish, it's got something else on it. And so we need to get out the heavy duty stuff so that we can clean it. And you see, that's what David wanted. David said, I don't want to be like a Pharisee and just wash my coat and my clothes. I want to be clean. And so he calls upon his God for the heavy duty cleaning. And that's what he desired. And that's what he wanted. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Forgiveness. What a wonderful day. A day that we have been set free. God had forgiven him, but David at this point had not forgiven himself. Rid me of my sin. Somehow, some way. You know, when a murderer commits murder, the heart is so wicked that he's not concerned about what God is going to do to him because he has taken another life. He's afraid of the gallows or the firing squad or the electric chair. That's what he's afraid of. David was to the place that it was a sin. It wasn't the judgment that he was worried about. It was the sin. You know, whatever is there, when we look at the transgressions here in the third verse, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is forever before me, David says. these laws, you know, they're moral or physical or spiritual. There's, you know, our state possesses so many laws that we probably, all of us, break laws every day that we don't even know, because we don't even know their laws. But many things that we do break, and we break them, and we need to ask our God to forgive us. We know that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David, in his sin against Bathsheba, his sin against Uriah, the sin against his kingdom, the sin, he mentions none of those. He comes to the fourth verse, against thee and thee only have I sinned. You see, David was to the place that he was not worried about anybody or anything else. Any laws, any judgment, anything that he was going to have, the only thing he was worried about was his God. And I have sinned against you, God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. I've committed this in thy sight, God. Forgive me. And so, as each one of us, each day, face something that God wants us to grow and to be more like Him, we need to look at our own heart. You know, if we judge ourselves, we be not judged. And so it comes here and it begins here, and it begins between me and my God. It becomes between you and your God. And watch our God forgive us and set us free and give us a wonderful fellowship with Him. What a glorious day it is today to be a believer in Jesus Christ. What a glorious day it is to see the forgiving power of our God. How do we stand before our God? Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today. I thank you for this word, for your word. As we continue to go through these verses of Scripture, verse by verse, there isn't a person here, not one, that could stand before you and say, I have nothing wrong. Each and every one of us, dear Lord, have things every day that we need to come to you and ask for strength and ask for the power to forgive us and to set us new with you and begin to walk that closer walk with you. Dear Lord, I just ask that you speak to hearts. Those that are here that are not saved, they too can be forgiven of their sin. But theirs is not a break of fellowship. They do not know you at all. Please, today that they come and they trust in you, and that they stop following after the one that seems to want to give them everything of the world, because it's surely not the best, and it's actually no good at all. I ask, dear Father, that they will turn to you and trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus, today. Coming, confessing their sins before you. You know our hearts, dear Lord, so please just speak to each one of us, and we want your perfect will done. And we come together and sing this hymn of invitation. I just ask that you'll have your perfect will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.